This is Papa Smurf. You're listening to Our Lifestyle, the podcast with ODB and the Mayor.
You're listening to Our Lifestyle, the podcast, brought to you by Custom Car Show Productions, which includes Orange Beach Invasion, Scraping the Coast, Sick Nick, and Slamber Party. Make sure you search on Facebook Scraping the Coast, Scraping the Coast Show on Instagram. Also, Sparkles Detail, Till, Tim and Tanya, ODB and the Mayor saying, we out here.
I've been moving calm, don't start no trouble with me. Trying to keep it peaceful is a struggle for me. Don't pull up at 6 a.m. to cuddle with me. You know how I like it when you loving on me. I don't wanna die for them to miss me. Yes, I see the things that they wishing on me. Hope I got some brothers that outlive me.
Our Lifestyle, the podcast, brought to you by our friends over at Hammered Weekend Wear. Make sure you go to hammeredapparel.com and put in the notes OLP. You never know what you may get in that package you order. Also, All Time Low Magazine. Support the real deal, Holyfield. ATLMagazine.com. Make sure you subscribe for the 2018 subscription. You're going to continue to see a great partnership between All Time Low Magazine and Our Lifestyle, the podcast. Make sure you tell Rich and Beth, OLP, ODB, and the Mayor sent you. We appreciate y'all. God's enjoy.
Plan. God's plan. I hold back, sometimes I won't, yeah. I feel good, sometimes I don't, hey, no. I finesse down Western Road, hey, next.
Yo, it's Our Lifestyle, the podcast. You already know, we appreciate everyone out there listening. It's episode 59, coming at you live and direct. We got this episode titled Bob Grant. So we got the homie Bob Grant from Cali in the house on this episode. He's legendary status. He doesn't want us to say that. It's going to be a great episode. You just guys got to strap in the seatbelt and get ready for this one. But first, we got Miggity Mike the Mayor. What's going down, Mike?
ODB, what's up, brother? It's so good to be back, man. Just wanted to definitely say killed it on the last episode there with that interview. Really enjoyed that, and it was good. Hearing Ruben and Mike on there and talking about the good old days, and look forward to seeing Ruben and meeting Mike this weekend over at Forbidden Fantasy. We're over here packing as we speak and getting ready. We fly out tomorrow out of Miami. That's the only direct flight we could find to Vegas. So we fly out tomorrow night and head over there to Vegas and then head on over to the show. Look forward to it.
You know it, Mike, and you know what they always say, let the good times roll. And I told someone earlier via a comment on Instagram, that's what this podcast is about. We keep those great vibes going. We keep the old school going. We mix the old school with the new school, and man, it's definitely fun. Now, Mike mentioned Forbidden Fantasy is going down this weekend. Not only do we have Bob Grant on this episode, but we've also got a special guest lined up that we're going to interview tomorrow, and he's going to be on the following episode. More to come on that. Super stoked about it. Now, Mike, I did want to also give two shout-outs. We got our two latest ratings on Our Lifestyle, the podcast, via iTunes. We've got Aftermath Chris. He's always a big supporter, huge fan of the podcast. I look forward to new episodes every week. You guys do a great job at keeping the scene alive and keeping everyone up to date on what's going on, whether it's show dates, show recaps, features in trucking and street trucks, etc. Keep up the good work. 5 stars, hashtag aftermath, hashtag it don't stop. That was a good one, man. So thanks, Chris.
Hey, Jay, I'm gonna interrupt you real quick because the only thing that he forgot about, and if he listens to our show, he can't forget our boy over at All Time Low Magazine. Come on, Chris. Come on, man. It don't stop. It don't stop because Rich don't let it stop. Rich is in the laboratory as we speak getting the next issue ready to put out for all you guys. So make sure all you guys are out there checking out All-Time Low magazine. So sorry, Jay. Go ahead. Proceed.
Ah, man, that's it, bro. Right there. That is 100% it. Then we've got the next homie, Patrick. I think that's what he goes by. And I want to say, you know, Mike, you gave him a hammered weekend wear shirt at Orange Beach Invasion. He's on Instagram. Oh, yeah. It's MSD_PATRIIC. If you're looking for an overall enjoyable podcast to listen to, look no further than Our Lifestyle, the podcast. Always looking forward to the next episode. Thanks, homie. I may have butchered your name, but I'm looking at his Instagram profile right now. He's got a 2012 Colorado. He's got all the hashtags in there, Our Lifestyle, the podcast, and Airhead Nation. So check him out. It's MSD_PATRIIC. So, Mike, other than getting ready for Forbidden Fantasy, how stoked are you for 2018 in general, homie?
Oh, dude, I can't wait. Well, we're already living it, you know, every day. And it's already April, Jay. Can you believe it's already April? I mean, this is unreal. But with that being said, we got some awesome shows coming up this month. And first one, starting out, Forbidden Fantasy, and we always forget that other F. And for all you guys that don't know, Forbidden fucking Fantasy, you better check it out this weekend. Be ready, because it's going to be happening, and I can't wait to get out there and see all the West Coast peeps and the brothers and sisters, and we're going to have a damn good time, man. I can't wait. The weather looks beautiful. It's going to be nice and hot, and so we got that nice pool that's out there at the casino, and definitely going to have some cold ones and some time in the pool, check out some awesome rides, see some really good people. Can't wait to see our boy, homeboy, Ron. We're going to go get hammered with Ron over there at Forbidden Fantasy. So definitely look forward to it. Jay, you're going to go on your cruise, man. I want you guys to have a killer time on your cruise. So definitely look forward to hearing about the good times. Still have not been on a cruise yet. So one of these days, maybe me and Mrs. Mayor can head out on a cruise, because we haven't done it yet. So that's one of the many things that are one of the few things that we have not experienced yet. But then a couple weeks down the road, we got Mini Truck Nats. So definitely looking forward to April and going to these truck shows for sure.
You know it, and I keep telling Mike, when he eventually goes on a cruise, he's gonna have to call it the Slamfest cruise, because you know Mike is all about Slamfest. Now we've got an update for you here in a second, but first I wanted to say big ups to the homies Jameel and Chuck from South Florida, already flying out today. They're headed out to the Avi. Can't wait. They're going to touch down in Nevada. You know, it's not a party till Miggity Mike the Mayor walks in. He's going to be throwing up that West Side with all the peeps out there, Christina Ceremi and so many more. You know how they do it out there, man. They do not play, and they're all about supporting the podcast, and we appreciate them. Now, Mike, before we started talking, you mentioned to me something came. It's already on the newsstands. I'm waiting for my copy in the mail. We got Street Trucks. Give us a lowdown on the new issue.
Dude, I finally got my new issue of Street Trucks magazine, and I want to get some mad props to Joe Greaves. My man has been coming and supporting and shooting Slamfest for years. And so we got the 26th annual Slamfest and the new issue of Street Trucks. And right here, the first page, you got the aftermath. Talking about aftermath, we got the aftermath lineup here in the first one. We got Redwood on the second page, Red Hydraulics on the second page, Pinstripe and Mikey. I mean, we got 1, 2, 3, 4 pages of coverage here of Slamfest. And just want to definitely thank Joe Greaves for the coverage. And it's a big deal nowadays when you get into a damn print magazine, because we both know there's not many of them left. And which, you know, hey, we had 6 pages and an all-time low, but I'll take the 4 in Street Trucks as well. So, but definitely want to thank Joe Greaves for coming out and always shooting the show and getting us in Street Trucks. So if you guys are looking, I'm looking at Ricky Mays. truck. We got Seedless's trucks in there. Phil Fowler is in there. Chris Rollins is in there. I mean, there's a whole bunch of these guys that are in here. And so definitely check out that new issue of Street Trucks Magazine. And the Slamfest coverage is in there. So definitely, guys, look forward to Slamfest again. Pre-registration real quick, Jay. Hope you don't mind. Slamfest 27, the second weekend of October. It's always the second weekend of October. Pre-registration is open. Just go to minimadness.com, and you can pre-register right there online. So minimadness.com, pre-registration's open. Get it in there. Save yourself 10 bucks and pre-register. We got inside spots, outside spots. Inside, let me know ahead of time so I can let you know that you are approved to be inside, and I'll give you the lowdown about the inside spots. But send them in, man. Let's get those pre-registrations in. We are over 100 already, so we're looking forward to another killer year for Slamfest 27 there in Tampa, Florida.
Yeah, Mike, that's what I'm talking about, man. You got the homie Slamfest Mike, a.k.a. the mayor. He's always got the lowdown. He loves when you hit him up on Facebook anytime. This guy, his phone stays ringing, and he appreciates what you guys do for the whole Mini Madness crew in terms of pre-registration. As I've always said, guys, it really helps show promoters when you pre-register. It helps kind of build some of those funds that they need to start securing certain portions of the show. So I also want to say, Mike, on this on the new issue of Street Trucks, you've got Nick, and I'm probably going to butcher his last name, Germano, and he's got the 68 C10 that was named Truck of the Year for Street Trucks. Bob Grant was also thanked in the write-up there, so Bob's on this episode. It's a classic truck. Mike and I saw it at SEMA a couple years ago. This truck has received and earned a lot of respect and success over the past few years. So it's definitely, you know, one of those trucks that's going to go down in history.
Yes. This bitch is bad.
It definitely is. Now, Mike, the other thing is we had an opportunity. We know that Scraping the Coast, we've got, you know, the homie Greg, we've had him on a couple times in the past few months, or past few episodes, rather. We're also going to have him on very soon to talk about Scraping the Coast 2018, which is June 24th, that weekend. But we also have our connect up in the Northeast with ECM, which is also known as East Coast Minis. You got Shoreline Showdown. It's an all-truck show. Now, you can be inside on Saturday and outside for Sunday, or just do the Sunday Outdoor Shoreline Showdown by East Coast Minis. We had an opportunity to have the logo, Our Lifestyle, the podcast, logo on their flyer, Mike, and you got the homie Cliff from the Northeast. He came down to Slamfest, so we're kind of looking forward to, you know, reinforcing that, hey, up there in the Northeast, these guys keep killing it. They got beautiful trucks. It's not snowing in the summer, so you can definitely go out if you're in that area and you're not going to go to Scraping the Coast. You definitely need to check out Shoreline Showdown June 24th, 2018. You could go to OCCarShow.com and you can find out more information. They do reinforce that it's mini trucks, classic trucks, 4x4s, Jeeps, SUVs, awards, and prizes. So big ups to the Northeast. They keep supporting the podcast. We keep supporting them.
Yes, sir. That's how we do it.
That is how we do it. So, you know, Mike, I just want to kind of sum this up as we bring in a special guest, Morgan Vieira, here in just a moment, Morgan Hernandez. I want to say thanks for everyone that's been listening. One thing that we always reinforce is it's not about the numbers. We continue to see record of views and likes and comments, better known as impressions, on the podcast. There are certain weeks where we'll have 70, 80,000 impressions just from Instagram and Facebook. So we look at those numbers because we like to know that what we're doing really does count. We've had some really good comments on the Mike Schartzis interview with the homie Ruben, and it really kind of reinforces that, man, the old school is where it was at. Mike, I don't know if it's ever going to get better than that, but the thing is, if we stop now with the truck scene, we'll never know, man. So we keep that pedal stomped to the metal. Isn't that right, Mike?
Jay, we ain't stopping. I'm going to steal it from Aftermath, and it don't stop, baby. It just don't stop. OLP in the damn truck scene, it just don't stop.
That's it. Now, speaking of that, you always hear the advertisement, definitely Sparkles Detail. Go to sparklesdetail.com. I know they've got their show coming up very soon, Mike, in June, The Lowdown. Did you want to just kind of reinforce those dates again for the homies out there?
Well, Jay, actually, you know what? Let's hold off on that because you know why? Because talking about our homies from Sparkle Detail, they're actually on the road, on their way to Forbidden Fantasy.
Boom. That's what's up.
Yes.
Right,
last time I seen the update, he sent me last time I got a text from Tim, they were actually in New Mexico. So they are on the way. And we will definitely talk about Lowdown because it is the second weekend of June. It's always 2 weeks before Scraping the Coast. And so definitely look forward to hearing more information about the Lowdown. But right now, we just want to wish Tim a safe trip to Forbidden Fantasy because this man is driving all the way from Alabama all the way to Vegas. So that's a hell of a ride. So, Tim, be safe, brother, and I'll see you soon.
Yeah, I'm on. Lastly, a year ago, this weekend, I, of course, didn't make Forbidden Fantasy, had some stuff going on at work, but I did go to St. Augustine, and you had the event hosted by PlanetBMX.com. It was an amazing event. This year, they've got many of kind of the old school guys coming out from Bob Harrow. They've got Mike Dominguez, Matt Hoffman, Mike Buff, Eddie King, Tracer Finn. But yeah, I mean, they have so many different guys. If you're not making Forbidden Fantasy for whatever reason and you're in the Florida or Southeast, make sure you make the trek down, even if it's for the day, to St. Augustine. Florida's a beautiful state, as many of you know, and you've got Planet BMX on Instagram. You can look them up. You could find information about their event. One thing that stuck out to me, I just mentioned last episode that I bought the You God book from the Wu-Tang. He actually donated some of the books as giveaways. So they're going to have tons of giveaways, bikes, lots of books, stickers, all kinds of different stuff. So I'm looking forward to going next year if I'm not able to make Forbidden Fantasy for whatever reason. But Mike, man, that's all I got before we patch in the homegirl, Morgan Valliere.
Yes, sir. Well, hey, with that being said, let's go ahead and call Morgan and let's get her on the phone, brother.
You know what's up? We got to get those updates from Morgan Hernandez from Valliere.
Be careful.
Yo, so as Mike and I just said, we got the homegirl, Morgan Valliere. We got her on, and Mike had to drop, but I want to say, Morgan, what's going down? How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on the show again.
You know it. We love having you on for a little segment, Morgan Says. We've all been busy, yeah. But the last time that we synced up with you, you were headed out to Auto Salon overseas. How did all that wrap up?
That was awesome. It was my first trip to Japan and Tokyo in general. It was an amazing experience, super awesome culture. The cars were impeccable. I mean, it's just definitely the Asian theme is throughout each build. Just amazing. I definitely, you know, suggest that for anyone to go to Japan or Tokyo in general to just experience it. And I can't wait to go back.
That's what I'm talking about. Hell yeah, you're international. Now, the other thing, I'm going to try to get this timeline right. So you go to Auto Salon. I know you just had an awesome time there, but you were also, you made an appearance or a cameo at LST. You know that was off the hook, right?
Yeah, I mean, despite the weather, which it doesn't matter, we're there for the show. It was a great time. Just being able to see everybody, even though I was there for like 24 hours. I just love going to the show, and it's been like a show a month. This so far, I mean, January was Tokyo, February was Texas, March was here, it was local Spring Fest, which is, you know, a Mopar show, and then April, or this month, we're going to Forbidden Fantasy. Actually, tonight, I'm going to be heading out there, so.
Yeah, you know it. Now, I forget, you got to remind me, was it before LST or shortly after there was a big announcement you had, and I think we're about 4 months and 3 days away from 8-8-2018. What's going down that day?
I am getting married.
The hell yeah. So congratulations. I don't know how much longer. So I guess you'll be a Hernandez for a few more months, right?
Yeah, just a few more months. And then I'll be going up the alphabet to the G category. So I guess that's an upgrade because I'll be going up the alphabet.
Yeah, there you go. I like that. Yeah, so congrats. I know you had a little play off the date there. A lot of people try to get, you know, like I'm sure like 6-6-2006 was like a big day. Well, then like, you know, you got 8-8-2018. That's got to be a cool date. I'm sure your husband or, you know, fiance now, he'll never forget that date for sure.
Yeah, he better not.
Yeah. So you got to tell the homie, man, put it in your phone, have Siri remind you the day before every year, and then you're set.
Best day of our lives.
Yep. Well, we wish you nothing but success. We know that you guys are going to have a great partnership and, you know, when you get married. But, you know, back to the cars, I know Forbidden Fantasy is one of the big sponsors, or the sponsor is Vire, a.k.a. Vire Corp.
Yes.
You had a little bit of a preview, I think, in that Forbidden Fantasy Facebook group, which social media is all the rage. Can you just give us a high-level overview what Vire announced?
Yes, we're going to be having our Gen 2 pre-order available at the Forbidden Show, and we announced we had the Gen 2s at SEMA of 2017. We kind of brought them out and showed them, and we said they were going to be available in spring of 2018. So now we're in spring of 2018, and we're going to be taking pre-orders at the show, and we look forward to, you know, seeing what everyone's reactions are to them. There's a new head design. We've increased the duty cycle, which is a big deal, a really, really big deal, is increased duty cycle, and it's going to be quieter. So it's just going to be an improvement all around.
Well, whether you're talking smartphones or all these different companies, they're always looking to create more efficiency, better product, better customer support. And Vire has all of that. They have the perfect ingredients. They continue to put out great products. That's why if you're not following Vire Corp on Instagram, you need to. You could also follow Morgan Hernandez on Facebook. And then make sure you click like on Vire Corp's Facebook page. So, you know, there's always great stuff there to talk about. I'm always excited about awesome products. Now, as we talk about our friend Greg Miller, his show, the next big show, Scraping the Coast, I understand that Morgan Bayer is going to be in the house.
Oh my gosh, I've been dying to go to this show. It's taking me like 3 years to get us to finally go out there. Lone Star Throwdown last year was our first time going to a show out of state, and then we kind of branched out to the Forbidden Show. Last year we sponsored it, and so slowly but surely we're kind of making our way to the shows across the nation. I know a lot of people have been wanting us to go to that show for a while. It's really just trying to like plan our year in advance, and so I'm really, really excited. I'm going to be able to get out there and, you know, just see everybody on the kind of East Coast side that we can't really meet, or if people can't make it over to Texas or Laughlin, you know, it's just a lot closer for everybody to meet up.
Hell yeah. That's what I'm talking about. And that's what's great about the scene. So we get to see you at some shows and that type of thing. But I tell you, Scraping the Coast is going to be off the hook. And it's going to be even better now that Morgan is going to be making that appearance. I understand that Vire is going to be there as well. They'll have sales reps. So it's great that the whole team can come out. So I'm happy to hear that.
And also, I just want to make a quick announcement. We're actually going to be having Kate Simpson's mini truck in our booth for Scraping. And she is kind of the, you know, part of the cover for Scraping the Coast. And also, Sean's was the other truck for Scraping. But we had him in our booth for Lone Star. So I guess we know how to pick him, because the two people that were on that flyer or t-shirt for the Scraping show, we now have them both in the Vire booth, so yay for us.
I love that tie-in, and I gotta give a quick shout-out to the homies over at All Time Low Magazine. Her truck also appeared on the cover, the back cover. So Kate Simpson is killing it. I love the tie-in there, Morgan. That's what it's about. Vire sure knows how to pick those awesome trucks. I love it.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's always great pulling up with you, and, you know, we're going to make a better attempt to try to have you on a little bit more frequent for, like, a Morgan Says section.
Yeah.
But, you know, we had a couple of really good updates from you, from Auto Salon to LST to Scraping the Coast, a little bit in between. And, again, just want to say congrats. Can't wait for 8-8-2018.
Thank you.
I know you're excited.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no problem. Well, Morgan, I just want to say, Airhead Nation, we appreciate y'all, or we appreciate you, and we at you. Have a great night.
Thanks, you too.
Yo, it's ODB, and this interview with Bob Grant is brought to you by Hammered Weekend Wear. Visit hammeredweekendwear.com, order some gear, and make sure you tag Hammered Weekend Wear on Instagram with those badass posts. Enjoy this interview with the Bob Grant. Yo, yo, yo. So as I said, we're on episode 59. We got the homie. Really old school MIDI trucker Bob Grant on this episode, and we want to welcome Bob from Grant Customs. Bob, how's it going, man? Thanks for coming on the podcast.
Hey, thanks. Yeah, this should be a pretty interesting one.
Yeah, man. A lot of people know your name. I've got a chance to hang out a little bit at shows with you. We're like on different sides of the country, but it's cool that MIDI trucking, you know, really has brought a lot of us together. Now, your name, Bob Grant, and Grant Customs has really been a mainstay in the mini truck scene for a very long time. Now, some of the listeners don't, you know, may not know who you are or how you got involved, but can you give the listeners, Bob, just like a little bit of insight into, you know, who is Bob Grant and maybe like how you got involved with the whole truck scene?
Well, I basically got involved just by reading magazines. I always enjoyed all the pro street builders like Rod Savary, Rick Dilberton, Scott Sullivan, and I got into the mini trucking side of that, and I always wanted to have a mini truck, and I started out in small cars, actually, then I worked my way up to a mini truck. There was an 82 Toyota. I'm kind of partial to those. Yeah, and then I kind of got into the full-size trucks and kind of bounced back and forth, minis, full sizes. I've even dabbled in four-wheel drives and had some really big four-wheel drives.
Man, that sounds pretty cool. Now, at what age, so, like, I'm thinking back, right? I remember seeing some of the old-school videos. It seems like, you know, like, V-dubs were big back then and things. Like, were you a teenager, like, in high school, like, in shop? And you started going, man, I kind of like doing this stuff. Or like about what age did you really get involved?
I got involved when I was probably around, well, I've always been involved in it ever since I was really little. My dad took me to a car show down in South City. I remember it was probably in the 70s.
Wow.
And then, I've just always been involved in it.
Yeah. So, I mean, we're you know, generally you and I, we're not too far apart in age. And, you know, to think that you've been doing it that long, it helps kind of put it into perspective because I, you know, if you Google Bob Grant, Grant Customs with a K, or you're looking at mini trucking and so on and so forth, I mean, you've had your hands tied in so many different trucks. We'll talk about some of those. But, you know, when I first got in the scene, I understood that you were kind of working for a different shop then. And I know you guys have kind of like parted ways over the years. You know, that was a place called Alter Images. But how cool was it that you were getting to do something at a fairly young age, something that you really loved, like building these trucks? I mean, that had to have been a pretty cool thing.
Yeah, I was kind of inspired by, to have my own business from a place called Air Filtration.
Okay.
The owner, they built spray booths, and I got to do a lot of sheet metal work there. Whenever they had anything for their shows, I was the go-to guy. I'd make it look better than, you know, it's ever looked.
Okay.
So, and then I also, with the sheet metal equipment, I also started doing roll pans on the side for people around town. And then when we went to shows, then it got to where I was making them for people that I met at shows.
Yeah, that's a pretty cool history lesson because I've always kind of wondered, man, how did you really get in? You know, everybody kind of talks about Bob and the sheet metal skills that you got. But it's pretty cool that it kind of started just from a company like Air Filtration, where you got your hands kind of dirty, so to speak. And then for many, many, many years, it was like, you had to have a Bob Grant roll pan, which I had one on my S10. The homie Vic had one on his Nissan. I mean, you must have been getting orders from like all over the world back in those, I'll call it the heydays.
Yeah, back in the day, it seemed like it got to the point where almost every issue, the truck on the cover had our stuff on it. And that was for like, I'd say a good 5 years.
Yeah.
Cause it was either going to be a street trucks, trucking, or mini trucking. That was pretty cool.
Yeah. And, you know, me thinking logistically, right, I have never been to your business up there, but like I know back in the day rolling with like Kool-Aid and, you know, Chad Lucas and a lot of these, you know, different guys, whether they were severed or not, you know, a lot of people had made that trek up to Northern California where you're at. And over the years, like even if it wasn't a big long-term build, you'd have guys like maybe Chad Lucas or, you know, Kool-Aid, for instance. You know, he took us forward up there, I remember. And he's like, oh, I'm going to have Bob build me like a front bumper. It kind of had to be cool, too, to have those kind of, I don't want to say visitors, but I guess visitors, because you're like way up there in Northern Cali, and you got a chance to sometimes, you know, even do customer rides like that back in the
day. Yeah, I kind of got in good with all the magazine guys just from the shows. I never really had to kiss anybody's ass. They just came up to me, and we talked like, you know, we knew each other forever. And then, you know, I'd probably sponsor them something for their car, or truck, whatever they're working on. And, yeah, we kept a good relationship that way.
Yeah, and it seemed like even, too, like back in the day, you know, I was just doing a Google image search of some of the trucks, and, you know, I landed on one that was the 67 C10s, and it was the Metal Finish Madness from Hot Rod Network, the feature. And, you know, you were kind of like even, you know, in with IF Customs back in those days, like when they were really, really popping off. And, you know, you, as a business owner, you kind of had those relationships where, like, you weren't enemies with, you know, someone like IF Customs. It was like, hey, they're doing a crazy suspension, but I could sometimes, you know, go and do all the crazy body work, like on, I think it was Chris, as it, how you say it, Kuto's truck and stuff like that.
Yeah, it was really cool when we had a chance to work on Chris Kuto's truck, because he pretty much gave up on taking it to body shops because they were wanting to charge him like $20,000 just for body work.
Crazy.
So rather than doing that, he decided to have us reskin it. So we made the bed sides, the doors, the fenders, the hood. We pretty much did everything but the roof. And that was a pretty cool project.
Now, I forget too. So, I mean, that brings back some memories. The year that IF and a lot of the Cali guys rolled out to Greenville, I forget if you rolled out, but I remember they drove the one C10, which I think was Matt I's truck. You know, you remember him, he passed away, rest in peace. And they drove that damn thing for I forget if they drove it the whole way. I think they did. But I remember seeing that, and it reminded me of a lot of stuff that you did, because that's something, Bob, you would do, where you're like, man, I've got this truck, and you know, they sprayed it down with whatever they, you know, put on it, WD-40 or something, and they cruised it out. But that was the kind of shit you've been doing for years, man.
Yeah, it's funny you mention that truck, because they brought it up to me a few months before they brought it out there.
Uh-huh.
And they're all, what can we do custom on the back of this? And then, I redid the whole back of it, the corners of the bed, and made it kind of flow like the sides. So they looked pretty cool, had a different look. They liked it. So, yeah, I was part of that truck.
Yeah, I'm going to have to look up, because I took a lot of photos of it when they brought it to Greenville that year. And I'm just looking at some Google image searches, and I'm saving these photos so that we can share them, you know, on Instagram. But, I mean, a lot, I tell you what, man, even though I didn't live in California, you know, rolling and kind of chilling with those guys a little bit at Greenville and, you know, hanging out with you at different shows, I mean, it really, really brings, you know, shows the camaraderie that a lot of the truck guys have. And I know that you've, you know, kind of bent over, you know, backwards to help so many people over the years. And, you know, we'll talk about some of these trucks, but I kind of wanted to say, you know, after Grant Customs, or excuse me, after starting Grant Customs, you received like an overwhelming support from the mini truck scene for like all the products that you were producing. You know, what did you like most about kind of running your own manufacturing business, which is somewhat of a change to what you do now?
Yeah, it's totally different. Right now we're just mainly doing builds. I do occasionally some roll pans and a few skins if they come pick them up, but I never liked doing the shipping on that stuff, because it seemed like every time I'd give them a price on shipping, they wouldn't order it, even though they liked the price of the product.
Yeah, because so, yeah, those big pieces,
it's
yeah.
It's a hard business.
Yeah, it definitely is.
Yeah.
And like you kind of hit on the whole mini truck scene, but I mean, for years, I mean, you really expanded because you probably had people beating down the door saying, man, I want the fillers, you know, the taillight fillers, and I want, you know, like you said, the skins. And there were so many products that you were offering. It had to have been tough to try to juggle all that. And like you said, the logistics as well.
Yeah, at the end there, before we kind of shut it down, we're not completely shut down. I still have Grant Customs. It's just I'm not doing advertising and selling on the internet really anymore. But yeah, it was a tough business. When we do the bumpers, we usually started out with a stock bumper, and then we just cut the crap out of it to make it look cool. So we had a little bit of money and stuff like that. Shipping, you know, it's just a lot of headache when we went into doing that other stuff.
Yeah, it's kind of like I talked to my homie Mike that co-hosts the podcast, and, you know, by any means, I don't think of myself as an artist, but when I like to do the podcast, I like to work on, you know, picking the songs and doing these interviews. I don't like to work on the, you know, trying to make a deal with a company. I'm just like, hey, I want to focus. And I can see where, like, you know, musicians like a Metallica or these bands, you know, they want to focus on creating. And that's kind of, I don't know if you agree with me, but like if we look at you like as an artist, like you create stuff, you kind of want to be the guy that's out there creating. You don't want to be the guy that's back there going, oh, let me put more tape on this box, you know? So I totally get it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I was getting to a point where I was feeling like we were just, you know, trading dollar for dollar, the amount of work coming in and going out. So I just made a move to be a little more creative, do some fun stuff.
I love it.
You know,
man,
you only got so many years in your life, so you want to make the best of it.
Yeah, man. I tell you, you know, for you to be able to recognize that is great because a lot of people don't. And, you know, we all have to make changes. We're all at different points in our lives. But, yeah, you're right, Bob, that it's sometimes like we just got to kind of shift into that next gear and just say, damn, you know, we got to change it up. But I was thinking earlier, like in late 2000, I flew out to Cali for Resolutions. That was like the Severed 10th anniversary. I had the pleasure, you know, back then Chad Lucas was kind of running around all the shows, and, you know, I got a chance to kind of become friends with him. And I went to his house, you know, his Pathfinder chassis, he had just gotten it back when it was green. You know, what was it like to see like a build that you put so much effort into, either like maybe debut at a show or receive the recognition from the automotive community, such as a cover truck, things like that?
It was pretty cool. We got motivated by some weird stuff. Like, there was a couple shops that said we don't build any cool chassis. So I just decided to do that one. And then we did some other ones that were really fancy. And like, chopping the top. IF, it was funny. We talked shit to each other.
Yeah.
But the first couple builds we did were roadsters, so he said, oh, yeah, you guys can't chop the top. And I was like, okay. So then we chopped the Suburban. Then we made, you know, we put the Blazer roof on my other truck, Twisted Metal. We just started doing some of the craziest stuff I could think of doing. And, yeah, that kind of cemented us in the scene as, you know, being more custom than just, you know, cookie-cutter stuff.
Now, the Suburban that you mentioned, that was the one, I want to say, because I didn't get to go to, I only went to the one Rezzo, but that truck was the one you brought out to Rezzo several years ago. Well, it's, you know, many years ago now, but that dude, that truck was crazy. Now, whatever happened to that Suburban?
The guy who owned it, he took it to a couple shops and it got burnt because he decided to make the chassis nicer. It was nice already. KRZ did it, but he wanted to have somebody make him a nicer mandrel bent one. And he got burned a couple of times. I think it was like over 10 grand, you know, worth the wasted money and effort. So he kind of backed out of it for a while. He bagged some Cadillacs and some other easier stuff. And he got kind of more enjoyment out of that, so it just sat in the back field for a while. From what I've heard, he's going to get back on it again. He actually hit me up a couple months ago, but I already had some builds lined up. So I don't know. Who knows? It might end up its way back up here.
For sure. It's crazy how that goes. Now, I have to ask you this before I kind of move on. because I want to talk about Twisted Metal in a moment. But back when Street Source was kind of going away, and a lot of us used to go in there, and they had that little chat group and all this, does anybody really know the official word on what on where Chad's Pathfinder ended up? You know, there was all these rumors that these different shops had it. I didn't know if, you know, you living out in Cali, if you heard anything on that famous truck.
Last I heard, Jason Woods had it.
Ah.
But I don't know what he did with it. He had a few cool trucks back in the day.
Yeah, I remember Jason.
Yeah, he was going to build it, but yeah, that's just as far as I know on it.
Yep. I know. It's kind of weird how some of these trucks, they have, I don't know what the word is, an allure, where it's a lot of us that are hardcore mini truckers and we really follow the scene, you know, we'll be like, man, whatever happened to such and such? And the one Facebook group is great. I had the guy on that started it. You know, where are they now? But what happens is a lot of the trucks, like every few months, they just make this little, it's like a revolving door. I told him, man, you need to come up with a spreadsheet and figure out where the trucks are at. And then, you know, people can just click on this list. But it is kind of crazy. Now, you mentioned Twisted Metal and our friend Ron Perkins at Hammered Weekend Wear, one of our homies. You know, he has that famous shirt with Twisted Metal on it. It's a very famous truck. Can you give us a little backstory on that truck, just so the listeners know where it came from and how it started?
That truck started out, it was just a little work truck I bought for my ex-wife. And yeah, I ended up with it in a divorce, and then I just decided to do something with it. And it was funny, I body dropped it before I even bagged it. So I was driving around this body drop, static drop truck.
That's sick, man.
So it looked really cool. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And then we ended up bagging it and took it to, we took it to Lake Havasu. I think it was one of the first shows. That was before it was Twisted Metal. And it had like a 400 rear bumper and different tail lights and stuff. But yeah, then I ended up wrecking it, and it from there it got rebuilt as a truck for a little bit. But then everybody was busting out with all this cool stuff, and I was like, shoot, we got to do something really crazy. So then I decided to do the Blazer roof on it. A lot of guys think I started with the Blazer and put a Toyota front end on it. The only thing Blazer on it is the roof. Hand-built the quarter panels, put the Chevy tail light in the back, built the corners of the bed. We did a lot of stuff back then. Shortened the frame 6 inches. Yeah, it was really cool because when we took it out to the first show with that roof, I think it was a West Coast Nationals. Mm-hmm. I had Courtney Howell and Fred Oaks. They both put a logo on each side of my window. So I'm actually in severed and negative camber.
Yeah.
Which is really, really cool.
Yeah, man. Yeah, by the two legends.
By the two people I really respect. Yeah.
By Brett and rest in peace, Courtney, man. That's right there. That's a stamp of approval, man. Now I'm looking.
Yeah, it was really cool. They invited me to their camp, and it was weird. It was like I was driving through this crowd of people, and everybody was moving. And then when I parked and laid it out in front of the Severed camp, everybody just crowded around it. I couldn't even get out of the truck. There were so many people looking at it.
Is like what they say, the parting of the seas, man. I love it.
Yeah, that was really cool.
Now, if the listeners can Google Grant Customs with a K and then Twisted Metal, two words, and you'll see some of the photos that I'll post. There's a VHS tape that I have from years ago, and the homie Brian Good is going to – I've talked about this forever, but he's going to convert it over. And there was video – of, I think, like when you got the truck back to the shop and, you know, it was that kind of powder, light blue, you know, primer, whatever it was in. It had like a graphic on the hood. And that truck was like, dude, you see this and you're like, man, this thing is totaled, man. You know, for anybody that's not Bob Grant. Now, you don't have to give us all the details, but was it like something where you just like careened off the road and like everybody was okay? Like, you look at the photos and I'm like, damn, dude, nobody like died, fortunately, you know?
Yeah, we were on our way back from, I think it was Out of the Woods show. Mm-hmm. No, not out of the woods. It was some show up on the Oregon coast. But, yeah, we were coming back from that show, and we put a lot of hours in the truck before we went, and we didn't get any sleep at the show because, you know, when you went to shows like that, you just party all night.
Yep.
So on the way back, we were switching back and forth driving, and at the end there, I was like, I can't drive anymore. I said, and then my buddy Tyler, he's all, yeah, I can take over again. So then he swerved off the road, kind of went in the gravel. I'm all, oh, shit. So then I was awake pretty good.
Yep.
So then I ended up taking the wheel and made it pretty far, but we got on this dead road with no lights, and it was just like a straightaway. And, I fell asleep at the wheel. Knocked out one of those big square posts. And they hold a guardrail.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we knocked out four of those, and the guy at the farm next to us, he said he heard like four shotgun blasts, which were the post exploding.
Damn.
And, it just wiped out that truck. I had to replace the frame, the firewall, and, basically the whole truck. Only half of the cab is left of the whole truck right now.
Now, so we're talking, just so the listeners know, I mean, we're talking like, gosh, this is like 15-20 years. I mean, let's just say probably about 15 years ago ish, right? Maybe a little bit more.
Yeah, probably longer than that.
Yeah, it was like,
it's probably like
18
years ago, maybe 17. I don't know.
Yeah, because I had just kind of gotten in the scene, and then I was buying my parts from out there and that type of thing. And then, you know, there was this, you know, this VHS tape I was watching, and I'm seeing all this, and it was like stuff of like this truck, and I'm like, I mean, who in their right mind? So in those days, Bob, like, you know, you obviously, right, that's like a shock and everybody's okay and you get this truck towed out and, you know, you get it back to the shop. Like, your mindset back then, you're just like, all right, cut it up. We're doing something different. Is that kind of how it
actually worked? I ended up getting rid of it.
Did you? Okay.
To a buddy of mine, but I told him I could fix it for him if he bought another truck.
Nice. Holy shit.
So I started building a Tacoma,
uh-huh,
which ended up being the Roadster Tacoma.
Yes, I love that truck. And nobody knows where it's at, I think, last time when Mark was looking for it or someone.
But that started out as just a cab and a 91 Toyota.
Damn.
Like a Tacoma cab on a 91 Toyota.
That is insane. So, basically you have like all these parts of the truck, and later on down the road, and we'll share these photos, like Mike over, you know, at the time working at Mini Trucking, I think he even had his hands on it, if I remember correctly, for a minute. And then it ends up with a guy named Dave Prater, if I'm saying his name right, with Forbidden. And Dave was in Santa Rosa, Cali, and, you know, it's black, it's finished, it's got this kind of, you know, tannish type interior. Were you, like, all those years later, and I'm talking, like, this was featured in, you know, let's say January 2000-ish, or excuse me, 2010, were you surprised, like, the truck continued on and someone actually brought it to, you know, a finished product?
I actually thought it would get done quicker, because it was pretty close when I got rid of it.
Okay, I got
you. I had it painted, but I had it painted red, and it was, like, almost done, but it ended up, something fell on the hood and the fender of it, and it dented it really bad. So I decided to update it with a new front end. But then a friend of mine wanted the truck really bad, and I was like, I'm kind of over it. So I got rid of it to him, and then he got rid of it to a guy named Jeremy. And then I think Jeremy got rid of it to the guy that painted it, Dave. Yeah, Dave ended up. Yeah, and he did. He got it to the finish point, which was really cool to see it done.
Hell yeah, man. Now, you mentioned a truck that I was thinking about bringing up, the Toyota Roadster. I remember seeing photos back like on the older website that you had, and this thing was like mind-blowing because it, I mean, the taillights and the Roadster and the way the windshield was. Did you want to just give us a little bit of insight into that truck and, you know, where your mindset was when you started building that?
Well, when it started out, that truck, like I said, it was a 95 Toyota Tacoma cab. I bought it when they were brand new, so I ended up paying a lot of money just for a cab.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't use hardly any of the rest of the truck. and then I bought some new bedsides, and I sold the project to one of my workers. So we took it to a couple of shows as a unibody Tacoma that was doored. So we were throwing around ideas about chopping it, and he chopped the top of it off, and we were kind of looking at it, maybe laying back the windshield, Frenching it or something, and we had this 56 Chevy windshield there, and I kind of put it up there, and we're all, whoa, this thing looks kind of cool like that.
Hell yeah.
So we cut out some more of the cowl and French the windshield in a little bit, and we're like, dang, I think we're onto something. And we added a little dip in the body and kind of following the Tacoma body lines. Yeah, it was actually a guy named Lonnie Johnson, and he had it for a while, but he switched jobs, and he had a family back then, and he didn't really have the money to finish it. So ended up getting a V8 in it, got rid of the four cylinder, and it ran a killer. That's about as far as he got.
Yeah, well, that's one of those trucks, like I mentioned earlier, that these trucks take on this like persona. And some people, you know, we get to a certain age, maybe we've got, you know, a little bit better, you know, in terms of financial, and then somebody goes, man, I want that truck, what happened to it? And the way the internet is, you can track stuff down, but there's so many epic trucks. And I was getting ready to ask you, you know, another question about that, but something that just came to mind, one of my favorite trucks that you did a lot of the work on was a truck that I always love this when a truck ends up on dual covers. And it was on Street Trucks and Truckin' the same time. And it was the K5 Blazer. And I think the guy's name was Steve Ortega of Fresno, Cali. And it was like that like a burnt orange K5. Dude, that truck was so insane, man.
Yeah, that was a pretty cool build. We did a lot of work on it. The guy here at RT's Auto Body, Kevin, he helped do the paint on it. And, well, he did the paint on it, but... yeah, it was nice having the build right close by, because I could go over there, kind of tell them the way I envisioned it. At the end there, I even helped do a lot of the bodywork on it, because I wanted to see it done for SEMA. So, yeah, we made it happen.
Yeah, that's a really cool truck, man. Well, I remember going through the website that you had, and just like a lot of businesses, you know, over the years, the things change. There were so many epic trucks, including many, many, many long-term projects that were like showcased on there. You know, thinking back, was there like one particular unfinished build that you really wished had been completed? And I know that's like asking like, you know, a needle in a haystack question, but was there just one when you think back, whether it was your own or as a customer's, that you were just like, damn, I really wish that one would have been finished?
Yeah, the very first one we started on, never really told very many people about it. It was a 720. And this was back before Pat Nichols had a body drop truck, or about the same time, actually. We had a 720 that we were starting, and the local guy in town, I told him I'd make a deal with him. If he bought all the parts, I would sponsor all the labor.
So
I want to start a shop eventually, and just, you got to spend a lot of money on parts, because I'm going to get the best stuff. So we had like a cantilever set up with coilovers. We had hydraulics on one side and a coilover on the other, so it would ride good at any height. When we did the notch on the frame, I made it the all flush, and it flowed like the frame. I also had it doored. We also bought a laser roof that was supposed to go on there, but it ended up on the twisted metal truck.
Ah, okay. So there's a little history there.
So if I could have busted out with that back then, I would have been even way more ahead of everybody. It was probably 4 years before twisted metal. Maybe longer than that. Maybe like 5 years.
It's insanity, man, because
really cool.
We saw what you guys were doing, like my buddy Russ and I at the time, we saw like, you know, the grafted on front ends and stuff, and what, you know, you kind of led a lot of that movement out there. And, you know, we had all these visions. We're like, well, I'm going to do this and do this and do this. And what happens is, as you know, it's like a checkbook, and it's like, oh, snap, okay, I want this, I want this, I want this. And you end up with like, trucks and projects that, you know, it's not easy to keep up with the bills, you know, of paying like a builder like yourself and that type of thing. So I can certainly see, Bob, how something like that, I don't want to say gets out of hand, but how a truck like that may not get finished. So I totally get the tie-in there. So that's pretty cool, man.
Yeah, I kept the frame around for a while, but I got rid of it. we just scrapped the whole project. Kind of sad, but yeah, well, we're just sitting around the rest.
Yeah, I appreciate you sharing that one with us, man. And, you know, speaking of trucks that were finished, you know, recently there's a guy, and I mentioned him at, like, towards the beginning of the podcast with Mike, Nick Germano. He recently, he recently won the Street Trucks Truck of the Year. Now, I haven't gotten my issue, but I've seen it on the internet, and I guess whatever I see on the internet is true. No, I'm just kidding. But what is it like when, like, a customer wins a prestigious award? Now, the reason why I say customer, I was going to ask you about the truck. In the feature on their website, it mentions Clint Petrie, and I think his name even came up in the two finished metal C10s. I saw his name on that feature as well. So I don't know who Clint is, but he thanks you in there. So there's a little bit of a tie-in. Is there any story there on maybe did he look up to you?
Nick used to work for Clint originally, and he was just kind of a young kid, you know, working at the shop, doing all the grunt work. And when Clint ended up shutting down his business, you know how everything slowed down. It got to a point where you weren't making any money. So, yeah, he ended up going. I think he went to work for maybe AP Components or something. Anyway, okay. He ended up selling the truck to Nick. And Nick was still kind of struggling back then, so he didn't have the money to finish it right away. So he just kept gradually putting money into it, having body work done, having stuff chromed, you know.
Gotcha.
And then when he got to a certain point, I know he got some stuff sponsored, so that helped him, you know, finish it. That's really cool seeing it go to shows now.
Yeah, and it's kind of a unique C10 too, because it does have some, you know, some different things about it. When I first saw it, I was like, wow, this is very different. But when you see it, you can appreciate how much work and stuff like that went into it. And when I saw it at SEMA, I think a couple years ago, I immediately thought, I was like, okay, this had to have been at Bob's shop, but I could see where the tie-ins there, where somebody that maybe admired your work and, you know, really hustled for years and years and years. I mean, it's a beautiful truck.
Yeah, it was really cool seeing it done, and it got wrecked too after SEMA. I'm not sure how long after, but he ended up wrecking the front of it really bad.
Damn, I didn't know that.
He brought it here. And if you look at the pictures, it looks different now. It's because we updated some stuff, and we fixed some stuff that was a little bit off on it. Like the bed, for some reason, it was like a half inch higher than the cab in those pictures. We fixed all that stuff, so it's twice the truck it was even when it was in the magazine.
Amazing, man.
So.
Well, it just goes to show you.
I guess they did really good out at the Lone Star.
Yeah, they did, man.
Yeah, they won best of show out there.
Yeah, and now that you know, Phil built builds those sick trophies for Lonnie and Radar and that whole Lone Star Throwdown, and they call it Bay 2.0, you know, after Bay 1.0 obviously went to Stranger. But sickness, man. It's just totally sick.
Yeah, that was really cool. Because out in Texas, they got a lot of nice trucks. So us even being thought about for a trophy is really cool.
Yeah, I saw that. And it kind of brought a smile to my face. Because I could see that it's kind of a humble dude. And, you know, a lot of hands were involved in many years. And I know all well about those kind of projects. I know you do too. And it's great when someone, you know, you kind of get a feather in your cap to say, hey, you know, it's the icing on the cake, and we don't do it for the trophies, as we all know, but, you know, to get that recognition, it's just like, damn, man, it's a good feeling.
Yeah, he's a really cool guy, Nick. At SEMA, when they have the rollout at the end there, he let Clint drive the truck, because it was his, you know, brainchild. That was his, I mean, we thought of the ideas, but he wanted that truck, so it was cool for him, even though it wasn't his, to drive it out of there and get, you know, all the glory.
Yeah, that's got to be a great feeling, man. It really does. And, you know, there's that famous rollout.
Yeah, they kind of paid him back.
Yeah, and it was parked right there. And I think the homie at – so a couple years ago I met – because I love Lincolns, and I met the guy, the upholsterer guy. And I kind of put two and two together, and he did the upholstery on that truck. And I'm trying to pull him up real quick on Instagram, but – man, what an awesome, you know, even interior. Even though a lot of it's metal, it's still just sickness, man. King Clover, I think it was.
Yeah. Yeah, they did a nice job on that one, too. Yeah, they got a pretty cool shop going. We're doing some other stuff for them, so you'll see some more stuff.
Yeah, that's awesome, man.
We got a Packard we're doing.
Oh, really? Cool.
Yeah. Yeah, Nick's going to do all the finish work, but we're doing all the metal work on it.
Hells yeah, man. Now, on a lighter note, one of the things I got to ask you about, Bob, because I love it, you know, there's many things that we've been accustomed to seeing lately, and like you have been like photoshopping vehicles and laying them out like no tomorrow. And at first I was like, man, is he like doing this to like to get under somebody's skin or what? And I love it because some of the comments, but I read a comment not too long ago from you, and I think somebody was like, why do you do this? And you're just like, because I like doing it, and I figured out how to do it, and I have fun doing it, you know? But, you know, can you give us some insight into the Bob Grant Photoshop?
Yeah, it's something I always wanted to do, but I didn't really have the programs to do it. Every time I bought a program, I couldn't figure it out because I'm kind of computer illiterate as far as that goes. I'm not really up to date on that stuff. But I found this one program I can kind of mess with stuff. And I just want to inspire people to build stuff. That's basically what I want to do. And if I do pick their vehicle and I modify it, it's not anything to do like I want them to change their vehicle because it was the closest one to what I wanted to do to one.
Yeah, exactly.
And then I'll modify that.
And like
if it has wheels on it already and it's already body drops, then all I got to do is just shave some stuff, chop it. You know, it's pretty much already done.
Yeah, I like some of them remind me because when I was a child, I'd look in the newspaper and there'd be like these little, you know, you'd have to pick the five things that were different. And there's a couple of them where you have me going, now, damn it, now what is, and I'm looking, and I'm like, oh, okay, there it is, you know. It's like a little, one of those little games. You remember those things, you know?
Yeah, and it's a lot of stuff, so ideas that I, like, thought about doing, but, you know, you couldn't find a customer, or wasn't quite cool enough where you wanted to do it yourself, because you'd end up with, like, millions of vehicles
yeah.
half finished. Which I got enough of those.
I was going to say, well, you got 500,000.
But I could do all kinds of drawings, you know. And it's better than watching the Kardashians or something. I just, while my girlfriend's doing that, I just, you know, I do my own thing. So, yeah, it works out good.
Amen, brother. I'm with you on that. Oh, man.
Yeah. And I like to inspire people, like I was saying. I'd like, you know, a lot of the stuff we have now wasn't available back then, so I'm kind of bringing up some old body styles, too, that maybe we forgot.
I agree, and isn't it crazy how, like, things kind of come and go? Like, if you look at the Japan show coverage, you know, they're all the rage of, like, where mini trucking was, like, in the late 80s, early 90s. The 88 to 98s are coming back. I mean, I love it, dude.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Yeah, I'm really impressed with all the Japan stuff. They have a lot of good quality out there. A lot of good ideas, too. Kind of like stuff we did already, but it's their own twist on it, and it kind of makes it new and refreshing.
Yeah, and I saw a truck the other day. Like, think of some of these trucks, and one of my friends, Roro, he has one. You know, it's an old Isuzu. I mean, it's a time capsule. But it's crazy, like, some of these trucks that come out, maybe they've been in a garage for, you know, 30 years, I'll just make it up, and they come out and everybody's just like floored because we've progressed and we've moved on. But I was telling my homie the other day, we often want what we don't have. And for me, like, I love my childhood. I kind of sometimes want it back, man. It was easier. It was fun. It was swimming. It was, you know, it was easy. But when you think of like mini trucks, I often think like it's got to come full circle where we're just like, you know, I don't have a lot of extra money, so I want to static drop my stuff. Oh, I'm going to get my buddy to paint my mirrors and do things a little bit more creative because things did get a little bit out of hand, I think for a good reason, but I can see the revolutions coming back.
Yeah, I think that's why the patina trucks and stuff were popular because, you know, you don't have to put a lot of money in paint. You can take it to shows, have fun. Me, personally, I want to try to bring back a lot of that old stuff. Like I did a Z-Rack on my Toyota, but I have another Toyota that I'm working on. It's an 82. Sean Mahaney was supposed to help me do the bed on it, but he passed away, unfortunately.
Yeah, what a good guy
he
was.
Yeah, I guess I got to figure it out. Yeah.
Yeah, and he had mentioned like he wanted to work on, you know, he wanted to kind of bring back, and he had a mini truck stored away that he was going to work on. And, you know, it's tough, and you nailed it a little while ago saying, hey, you know, our time is limited, which it really is. And it's kind of like you got to invest your time and your effort into, you know, keeping the bills coming in or keeping the bills paid, but also being able to accomplish what you can and, you know, spend time with the family. And I know you got a child and all that stuff. So, you know, it's that balancing act. But I did want to ask you real quick before, because this just came to my mind. Did you have a Dodge Impala? You had something I thought was like totally laid out. Was that your car?
I had a body dropped Impala.
That's right.
So it was a bare metal first, and then I ended up putting a bubble top on it, and I chopped it. I got pretty far on it, and then it ended up going through a couple hands. And my good friend Dave Saru, he ended up with it. And I do a lot of work for him, and he actually has money now to finish stuff, so he's been bringing me projects here and there, and that happened to be one of them. And it should be going to shows pretty soon. He's just finishing up some trim and, just minor stuff. Getting all detailed out.
Yeah, that was an amazing car, man. And for some reason, it popped in my head. I'm going to have to find some photos. Now, yeah, so, I mean, that was a blast from the past. And Dave was the guy that had moved out years ago, I think, out to, like, you know, Illinois or something like that.
Yeah, he had a F-150 built by Totally Polished.
That's right.
It had hydraulics on it, and it lifted really high in the back.
Yes,
like it lifted over your head.
Yeah, I remember that now. I always tend to forget Totally Polished, you know, what they did back in those days. But, yeah, because I kicked it with them 1 year at SEMA, I think, when I was going with Kool-Aid.
Yeah, there's a lot of old shops people forgot about, like R Custom, Stage One, Concepts, Santini for paint. I mean, there was a lot of shops back then that put out some good stuff.
I just posted I agree, and that's why I love looking at the old magazines. I just posted, it was an ad, I think it was for a calendar, and it was in Truckin' June 91, and I think it was a Nissan 720, and it had Santini's logo on the front windshield, and sure enough, I found him on Instagram, and I tagged him, and I was like, hey, this is Santini, you know, because we know his name from, you know, overhauling, and then, of course, he's in the Mini Truck Hall of Fame, as you are, and then, you know, now, it's like, he's this world-renowned guy, kind of, so to speak. And then he followed us on Instagram. I'm like, hell yeah, man. You know, that's the Santini.
Yeah. It's really cool seeing all these guys. A lot of them are still going. They just got different stuff going. Like R Customs, Rick Bentley, he still does stuff. He posts pictures on Instagram. And then, Brian Gendro, he's still doing stuff. Yeah.
Hell
yeah. A lot of good builders out there.
Yeah, man. I wanted to ask you, several years back, there was like a really epic, totally bad flood in Northern California. Like, how stressful was it as a shop owner knowing that you had so many like projects at the shop? Can you give us like the rundown of kind of what your mindset was and what happened?
Yeah, when that flood went on, we kind of sensed it was going to flood, but we weren't positive. And then my girlfriend, she was always watching the levels of the lake and stuff like that. So we figured out when it was going to flood and that it was for sure going to flood. So we were able to get all the stuff out of my shop that was of any value. And we were ready for it. But it took a mountain of people to move all my stuff. All my club members and severed ties, they came up. Rory from Vegas, he even flew in. Yeah, it was really cool. We had a lot of help. Guys from Oregon. It was so cool to see everybody come together for me. So all that hard work I did, you know, like back in the day, helping people out, I think it came full circle. They helped me out.
Yeah, it was a great story, and I kind of felt like I was enamored by, like, you know, you were giving these updates, and I like you said, maybe it was your girlfriend with some of the posts, and there was like the dam that was going to bust. And it was almost like even me in Florida, I'm watching this going, man, like at any time, this is like shit from like a movie, you know? And I mean that in a real life way, that it was like serious. And I could only imagine what was going through your mind, you know, all that hard work and all the stuff you've accumulated over the years. Nobody would want to see that just gone in an instant.
Oh, yeah. I had a lot of old small block Chevys. They all got ruined. Big block. I had them all out in my field undercover, but I couldn't move them all because, you know, I had to put a value on certain things, and my equipment was most important, and my customers' vehicles. So we got all those out. And then by then, the water was almost up to the doors, and we had to get out of there.
Gotcha. Yep.
Luckily, it didn't get up any electrical, and a lot of the stuff we put up high on tables and stuff, so the damage was minimal, like on the inside stuff.
Gotcha. Well, you know, like as a business owner and as passionate as you are, you know, how hard is the balance between maybe like kicking in full throttle on a huge build to take it over the top and then maybe like balancing all the other stuff in life that you've got going on? You got the girlfriend, the family, the kids, the business, the club stuff. You know, how do you balance all that? Because you have such awesome work, man.
It's really tough for me to balance all this stuff. I mean, I can tell sometimes my customers get irritated with me because I take a while. Every time they bring it to me, they end up with, you know, probably four times the vehicle than they were expecting. So they forget about it once they take it to a show. They get a lot of recognition.
Yeah, man. I know it's one of those things where it's tough, but you know, people have to, you know, they have to be patient. But yeah, I mean, I'm sure you think this all the time. It's like, hey, I'm only one person and I've only got so many people helping me.
Exactly.
And we can only do so much at one time. You know, we're not miracle workers here. So
And another thing, we're trying to finish up my shop at my house. We got a roof and some walls up, but that's about it. We're working off extension cords right now.
Gotcha.
So hopefully in the next couple of weeks, we'll be getting some electricity and yeah, it'll be a real shop.
Yeah, that's kick ass, dude. And it's great when you can do that because we talked a little bit before we started and it's that balance between, you know, the shop there that you got where you've got a lot of stuff stored and trying to just keep things as efficient as they can be, you know, so you can balance the bills and balance the builds. Say that 10 times fast, but no, I mean, I totally got what you're saying. And, you know, I'm happy to hear that, you know, things are kind of coming together for you, man. Cause you've been hustling a long time, Bob.
Yeah. Just got to keep ahead of the tax, man. And we'll be good.
I know, man. I know. I can imagine. Now, you know, I'm a huge fan of Back to the Future, as many of us are, in the 80s and BMX and all that. But if you had a DeLorean time machine, what year would you travel back in terms of like anything automotive related? Is there a particular year that you love or, you know, what year would it be?
I think I would. I mean, a lot of guys say the 50s, but I had a lot of fun in the 80s. I'd like to go back there and I'd probably go down on Sunset Strip and hang out with Motley Crue and all those guys. Have a good time for a while and get into my truck building. And yeah, probably do it that way.
Hell yeah, man. That's what I'm talking about. The 80s, it was a great decade. And I was born in 78. Sometimes I wish I was born a few years earlier because, like, I experienced the 80s, but my mindset, you know, I was more of a child, you know. I mean, I wasn't into, like, the craziness, like, in the early 80s. But I do have a lot of great memories from it, and what a great decade it was.
Yeah, I remember going to a lot of concerts back then. And, you know, back then you got these idols. You think you're like, oh, man, they'd never hang out with me. But we actually did a truck. We did a bunch of work on one for James Hetfield. And, yeah, I would have never guessed I would have been doing that.
Yo, what's up, Airhead Nation? It's Ron Perkins from Hammered Weekend Wear, and you're listening to Our Lifestyle, the podcast. Hey, after this episode, check out the fresh new gear we have over at hammeredweekendwear.com. That's H-A-M-M-E-R-D, weekendwear.com. Now let's get back to the show.
It's a small world, and I've seen that, you know, I think everybody knows he's a big automotive guy, and we've seen these different builds over the course of time, and I do recall hearing something about that with your work, and that's got to be a good feeling, man, that someone like that world-renowned, that comes to someone like yourself to say, hey, man, I need some work done.
Yeah, it was really cool. I'm working on West Coast Customs. Ryan had me go down there, him and Alex, and that was pretty fun. It was cool to see a bunch of celebrities there, too, and hang out with them. Yeah, it was pretty, had a pretty good run.
It's crazy how things come full circle. Well, you know, one thing I like to try to ask, too, you know, we've spent a lot of time talking about builds and, you know, picking your brain, so to speak. But, you know, how's the family? You know, everything good there with you and the fam?
Yeah, we just recently had a baby. She's actually three last week, but yeah, it's a lot of fun. I kind of enjoy it more now than when I was younger. It seemed like I was kind of scatterbrained back then. I still am a little bit, but yeah, I'm a little more focused now, especially since I quit drinking. I think that helped me out a lot.
Yeah, and I was, you know, I didn't want to bring that up, but a lot of people that follow you on Facebook, you've had this, you know, I'll say great news story, how, you know, because we all like to throw back beers, and I know a couple years ago I was at SEMA, and, you know, I got a chance to hang out with you some, and, you know, did you want to just share anything maybe on like why you decided that? Because, you know, there could be another person out there that's like, hey, so, oh, okay, so Bob quit. Like, what's that about? I mean, was there maybe just anything you wanted to share about that?
I don't think it's for everybody. I don't think everybody needs to quit drinking. But me personally, I felt like it was dragging me down and not doing me anything positive. So, yeah, I decided to quit. The bad times are outweighing the good, I guess you could say. So, yeah. And, you know, I got a little one now, so I want to live a little bit longer. So I don't need to be dying from liver cancer or anything like that.
Hey, man, well, you know, it's good when we can see things, and I, you know, talked about this, you know, earlier, but I mean, you know, we all see things a little differently, and we say, hey, man, we got to make change, whether it's, you know, shutting down the doors on a shop, you know, or changing things about the way we do things. And even myself, I've cut back a lot because I'm like, man, as I'm getting older, it's tougher to lose weight. You know, I don't want my son seeing, you know, me drinking a lot, because my dad didn't drink a lot when I was younger, but his dad did. So, you know, things have different effects on us, but I appreciate you sharing that. And, you know, we wish you the luck with it, because we know that you got, you know, a lot on your shoulders all the time, but you're doing great, man.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like I took that energy I was using for that and I put it towards my builds. So I feel I'm more creative than I was maybe a couple years ago.
I love it, man. I really do. What a great news story. And, you know, I kind of wanted to ask you, was there anything else that you wanted to share with the listeners? I mean, sometimes like an hour goes by pretty quick and, you know, we've been on about an hour and, you know, we've got plenty of time, but at the same time, you know, I just wanted to see if there was anything else that you wanted to share.
I think a lot of people give up too early on pretty much everything in life. I think if you put your time in and try hard, you can become amazing at anything you do. Just a lot of people, they give up too early. So if you skip around all the time, you're not going to amount to anything.
And you're like, if you look at your story, it's like all these years you've been plugging away and you've had great success. But it's true that I think sometimes there's this little cartoon or meme or whatever you call it, where it looks like someone's digging in a mine and, you know, there's a diamond right behind, like all they got to do is like one more, you know, hit and then boom, it's there. And then of course they turn around and they leave, and that's what I envision. And I think you're right. If you've got truly like an admiration or a dream or whatever you want to do, at some point you just got to go full throttle and you just can't, you can't throw the towel in too early.
Yeah, I have it's funny. I have a lot of, shows like hit me up, but I think they lose interest when they realize I'm not like this big, shop, you know, multi-million-dollar shop. So it wouldn't be a good, or interesting for the masses, because there's no real drama or just two guys working. So who wants to see that? I mean, maybe some people would, but not the masses.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It's years ago, my dad told me the story about when OCC was, you know, blowing up, and the older guy, I think I've told this story on the podcast before, but the dad, he flings the door open with the executives over at, you know, Velocity or Discovery, whatever it was then. And he's like, you can't put this on TV, me arguing with my family. And they go, man, Paul Sr., you have no idea. This is, the ratings are through the roof. And he's like, really? But yeah, I mean, there's that kind of real drama. I used to watch that show a little bit, and I mean, those guys are at each other's throat, and then you've got a lot of the fake drama. But yeah, I know it's almost like perfect ingredients that they need to be able to create a show. I know I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
So
yeah, and a lot of, we just do sheet metal work, so you ain't gonna see anything painted really quick here.
That's funny.
Yeah, it's not really I'm not really a full service shop. We just do the sheet metal work, and then they take forever to paint it. That's what I mean. I usually set them up with a place to go get it painted or upholstery, But I'd say 90% of the time they try to find somebody cheaper.
And it backfires.
And if it is cheaper, a lot of the shops, they'll get halfway into it, and they'll be like, shoot, we're losing our masses on this. So we got to put it in the back. So then it doesn't get done there either. So, yeah. It is what it is.
It is. Well,
cool seeing some of them done, though.
I agree. Yep, even if some of them get done, that's all we can hope for. Well, on Instagram, you got the old, if you want to see some of the older photos, you can look up with no underscore, it's Grant Customs with a K, so Grant, K-U-S-T-O-M-S. Now, that's the old one. If you look up Bob Grant Fab, he's got about 16,500 followers, all kinds of cool photos. It also has the link to grantcustoms.com. You've got stuff of C10s, mini trucks with toppers, some of the photos we've talked about, the photoshopped ones. Man, you post a lot. You know, like I said, you got a beautiful family. You got a lot of friends and homies out there. And I know you've been doing it a long time. So I just wanted to say, man, just, you know, thanks for what you've done for the scene all these years.
Yeah, glad to be a part of it. Glad I could inspire people to do stuff and build, you know, really, really interesting trucks and cars and hot rods. All that stuff.
Hell yeah. And then also, I was going to ask you, looking back at your Instagram feed, did you ever get your hands on that issue that you were looking for? It was like Street Trucks November 2000. Did anyone come through for you?
Yeah. I've been pretty lucky on all those. Whenever I say I want something, somebody in the scene has it.
Hell yeah.
So yeah, it works out pretty good.
Yeah.
Even cars, if I need a part for a car I'm building, it seems like day or two, I have whatever I want.
And that's, you know,
pretty cool.
I know it is. And a lot of us, you know, we always joke about social media and people are like, it's the death of, but that is the good part of social media, right? It's being able to reach out to your social network and get something that you're looking for.
Yeah. Yeah. I am really amazed. I'm constantly following new metal workers on the Instagram, a lot of builders, and a lot of them, they'll actually say, oh, cool, you know, they'll give me pointers on doing stuff, or they'll ask me about certain builds we're working on. So that part of the social media is pretty cool. Yeah, they're kind of all like a family. We help each other out.
Hells yeah. Well, the last build I was going to ask you about, and it just came to mind, maybe about a year ago, I started posting the truck that was, I think it was like a 3-door Suburban that turned into the crew cab old school dually. If I remember correctly, did you have your hands on that early on, right? And then now it's since moved on and it got painted red and all that?
Yeah, it was my personal truck, and I had it about, I'd say, 75% done.
Uh-huh.
And one of my club members kept bugging me because he always wanted it. And I wanted to build something else at the time, so I told him, well, you know, give me this. And then he actually contracted us to finish it. Well, not totally finish it, but we got in a primer and drivable and all that. And he took it to a few shows. I think he took it to the Severed show when they used to have it, Oktoberfest. I think he took it to that.
Yes, I think so. I was looking back at the old photos, and that seems like where it was from around that time period.
Yeah, and it got passed around a while. I think even a guy ended up dying over it.
Damn.
The guy got shot.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Crap.
I don't know the whole story on it, but yeah, it was kind of weird. But then my friend ended up with it. He got it painted, and then, he ended up getting rid of it to some guy in Texas. And yeah, I think now it's getting repainted red.
That's what I saw, and I've got one of my pages, C30 Addict, and I always like to look up the history of these trucks, and I was kind of following it around, and, you know, boom, then I think you posted something in one of the other shops, you know, you guys were kind of saying, hey, it looks good, that type of thing, and I always love the history on a truck like that it may get passed around, and, you know, different owners, but when someone, even like with Gas Monkey, not everybody likes the shop, but they seem like they really did the crew cut dually good, you know, they did a good service. And, you know, those stories are often kind of swept under the rug because we hear negative stuff. But even that truck that I'm talking about, I'll find some photos and share. It's kind of really cool to see it, you know, progressing, for lack of better terms?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's kind of like, seems like we're, you know, we're kind of in every trend that's been started. It's kind of started with us some way or another.
Yes. Yeah, and I think I just was scrolling back on my feed. I agree. It was like Chaotic Customs, I think, did the, you know, maybe got their hands on it to paint it and whatnot. But
yeah, I heard they had a fourth door too.
Yeah, that's what I had heard. Yeah, which is kind of cool. But you're right. I think when you look back at mini trucks and especially trends that like you and your business or businesses over the years have started, there's a lot of, you know, I'll say that, you know, the web of the mini truck scene, you know, which was kind of filmed or not filmed, but formed from like the van days and the hot rodders. Then you had the mini truckers. And then when you go to like even a Good Guy show now and you see like these 57 Chevys laid out on big wheels and air suspension, you really have to see, like, you can't help but see the nod from the mini truck scene that drove so much of that. Which is kind of cool.
Yeah, when they had the Custom Rodder magazine, I was really inspired by that too. I like look forward to every issue like just as much as I did a mini truck or a street truck. It kind of sucks all these magazines are going away. A lot of them they don't even put on online either. They just go away and you never see them again.
Yeah, I know. It is insane. I was at Barnes & Noble's last night. My wife was looking for something, and there's so many magazines, and they're just dwindling. I mean, there's a lot of magazines, but some of them, they're just the pages are going away because everybody's advertising online, and it's a weird, weird place that we're in.
Yeah.
But, you know, I Bob, it's been awesome. I mean, there's so many trucks. I mean, some of the listeners are probably going to be like, man, Jason, you didn't ask him about this one and that one, and don't forget that. And I mean, there are so many trucks, but, you know, like I said, I just wanted to, you know, see if there was anything else. I mean, I think we kind of, you know, we pumped the Grant Customs, the different Instagrams, which I think is important because that's how a lot of us get a chance to, you know, communicate with everyone. So it's Bob Grant Fab. But, I mean, any other builds that are on your mind?
Yeah, I use that one the most.
Okay.
Yeah, we got a lot of builds coming out. A lot of street rod stuff, but we got a few trucks that are going to be coming out, too. You'll see them.
Cool.
As soon as I get my shop up, I want to get back into the show scene. It's hard to juggle everything, and
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah, I just got to get business taken care of, and then we can play.
Well, I really like that Photoshop that you did the other day, and I was going to bring that up, the yellow truck with the two ladies on it, and then you, like, flipped it, you did the reverse flip, and then you laid it out, and I was like, man, that one right there just brought a smile to my face, man.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been going back and finding old trucks that I liked back in the day and maybe changing some stuff on them, reposting them.
Cool. Well, listen, you know, I know, like, as a business owner, you're balancing, you know, everything there and the family and stuff, and you know, we've just taken up a little bit over an hour of your time, and we certainly appreciate it. But, you know, for, again, everything that you've done and you continue to do and that you will do in the future, I know sometimes the roads aren't easy, but, you know, you have inspired a lot of people, whether it be, you know, Twisted Metal or so many different vehicles, Chad Lucas's Pathfinder, which was on Under Construction cover, so many builds. I'll try to find some of the magazines, but I know I won't have enough time to dig them all out because there's so many. But, you know, Bob, again, thanks for what you do. And if there's anything that you ever want to come on and talk about, to push something new that's coming out or whatever, a message, you know, you can use us as a platform and we're happy to do it.
Great. Appreciate it.
You got it, man. Well, take care and we will definitely be in touch with you, brother.
Okay. Take care.
Gotcha.